out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
And welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday, the 10th of April, 2018. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting here at radioarian.com. If you are listening to us on YouTube or anywhere else, do check out the radioarian.com site. You'll find that we also have a chat room there. A lot of good people that you can talk to in that. And we don't just talk all about Radio Arian programs. We also talk about whatever's going on in the news, whatever is going on in our lives, and anything else to do with nationalism. So do check out the chat room and do check out the radioarian.com site. Okay, today we're going to go into part three of our Back to Basics series. And I'd like to concentrate on usury and why usury is wrong. Now, it's not wrong to make money from having money. It's not wrong to invest in a business venture and say you would like to have a percentage of the profits for investing that money in that business venture. Now, there isn't anything wrong with that. What is wrong with interest is, and usury, is saying that you are going to loan that money out and you expect to get a certain amount back, regardless of what the money is used for. You expect to get interest back on it. That's the point that where it becomes wrong. It's like lending out a coat and expecting that when the coat comes back, you want a pair of trousers with it as well. The trousers don't actually exist yet. The trousers don't exist. They have to be created to then pay them back to you. And when you loan out money, the money on top of that hasn't yet been created. But if there is a business venture, you are expecting to create something with that money, and then you can pay a little bit of that back. And that's the way that our banking system used to work. And we used to have laws about this. And what it meant was that the person that was lending the money was also taking some risk in actually loaning the money. He was taking part in the risk of the business venture that the guy who had the business idea was also taking. Because what we have at the moment is we have people borrowing money to start a business, and they are the ones that are taking all the risk. The guy that loans out the money, he's not taking any risk at all. So that's the first thing that's wrong with usury. The second thing, I mean, there's lots, is the compound interest. The fact that people can loan out a large amount of money or just a small amount of money, and then they can pay back a small amount forevermore without the loan actually going down. We borrowed money during the war, and we've only just finished paying it back. And we've paid back tons and tons and tons of interest on that. And this compound interest, this is how the Jews have managed to get as powerful as they are today. It's all through compound interest and usury. On top of that, we now have the fiat banking system, which is based upon never-ending growth. There has to be never-ending growth for the fiat banking system with interest to function. If it didn't have interest, then you wouldn't have to have this never-ending growth of debt. That's the problem. It's a never-ending growth of debt. You can have never-ending growth of creating things because if you keep having the materials, but the fiat banking system with interest that we have today, it relies upon never-ending debt. And the reason for that is when you take out a loan, you are not actually borrowing money from the bank. The bank is actually creating that money, and it creates the money from your signature on that loan. Because when you sign that loan, what you are saying is, I promise to pay back a certain amount of money. And on top of that, they say, I'm going to pay back a certain amount of interest as well. But what the bank then does is it monetizes your signature. It creates that money and it then puts that money into circulation. So say you've borrowed, well, you haven't even actually borrowed it, but you've signed a loan for £100. The bank then creates that £100. That £100 goes into circulation. But because you've got interest on that, because you've got to pay back interest, instead of just paying back that £100, you've got to pay back £125. But where's that £25 going to come from? Because there's only £100 that has gone into circulation. Well, the only way to get that extra £25 into circulation is if somebody else comes along and borrows another £100. Then you've got £200 in circulation. So the first guy can pay back his £100 and pay back his £25 because that's in there in circulation. But then there's only £75 in circulation, and the second guy needs to pay back 125 as well. So a third person has to come along and borrow some money. So this is why the fiat banking system with interest relies upon a never-ending debt. It has to have infinite debt in order to function. And of course, there is a certain time comes along when all that debt is just too much. It's just too much to service. It's just far too much debt. Of course, this is what happened 8 years ago when the financial system crashed and the banks crashed and they had to bail out all the banks and they had to set the loan since then at 0% interest just because it was so top heavy. And if you think about it, the system is guaranteed to crash if you add interest to it. If you just had a fiat banking system, which is a good idea, because if you have a gold-based currency, you're limited by the amount of gold there is in the world, and you're limited by the amount of work it takes to dig the gold up. When you think about money, what it is a way to measure the value of something. It's like a ruler. You use a ruler to measure the length of something, or you use the money to measure the value of something. That's all it is. It's an IOU note that measures the value. And what the bank should be doing is creating the amount of money that is required for whatever business venture it is. And then when that money comes back, it should be zeroed. But that isn't what the banks do. They create the money, they add the interest on top, and they keep all that money. And on top of that, when the person defaults on their loan, the bank then can go in and take all the property. So it then becomes in the bank's interest for people to default on their mortgages and to default on their loans, because the bank can then go in and take everything. And this has gone on many times in our history. The economical system has crashed and the banks have been able to just take everything. And this is why they have so much power in our world today. As I say, it all goes back to Jews and usury. And if you look in the Old Testament, usury is a weapon of war. The Israelites of the Old Testament are told under no circumstances are they to use interest on any loans among themselves. And the Old Testament is the heritage of the Christians. It's the heritage of Christianity. And Christians are under that same injunction not to add interest to any loans to other Christians. And this is the way that it was for many, many years, up until the 14th or the 15th century in Italy, when they changed the laws on usury. It was originally seen as being as bad as robbery, or even as bad as murder. If somebody was caught using usury, they lost everything. They lost their estate. They could not leave anything in their will to their children. The estate got taken by the crown, got taken by, they lost everything because it was seen as such a serious crime. And it's profiting from the misery of others. Somebody is lacking, they don't have enough of their own. And instead of somebody who has more saying, well, I'll help you out, I'll loan you this and you can pay me back when you can. Instead, they see somebody who is suffering and they say, well, I want to make a profit out of that suffering. It's a really twisted way of looking at things. It's a Jewish way of looking at things. And the Jews extended it to human rights law, where it became the human right for us to make as much profit as we can out of our society, which is it's a mad way of doing things. It's not mad if you're a Jew. If you're an outsider to that society, then yes, you want to be making as much profit as you can out of the non-Jews. But if you are a white man, you don't want to be making as much profit as you can out of your brothers. You want to be generating as much wealth as you can for your brothers. And in the way to do that, you could use usury on other foreigners, like the Jews, or you could just use a banking system that doesn't have interest on it, and you can create the wealth as and when it is needed, and zero it when people pay it back. And then you can have your industrialists that end up making a lot of money through hard work, and they can invest in people as well and say, well, I'll invest in this business venture, and you pay me back a third of the profits for such and such a amount of time after you've paid me back the money on this. And this was seen as in accordance with natural law, because you would have to work to pay back whatever it was that you had borrowed, but then your work was your own. Your time was your own. Anything on top of that was seen as slavery, but a debt slavery. Adolf Hitler was very influenced by a book by Gottfried Feder. Usury, debt slavery, something like that, I believe it was called. And Gottfried Feder, in this book, he outlined the everything that usury had caused, because he worked it out. He worked it out that it was compound interest that had given the Jews the amount of power that they have today over our nations. And he was pointing out that Karl Marx had cleverly left this out. And Karl Marx's ideology was, look at these rich people. They've got a lot more than you have. They have no right to have it. You should take it from them. And he never explained how these rich people got to be that rich. They got to be that rich through usury. And that's what needs to be taken out of the system if we want to remove the power that the Jew has over us. We also have the fact that what we think of our national banks are not owned by the nation. They're privately owned. They're privately owned by Jews, and particularly the Bank of England and the City of London. The story of what happened in Britain was we expelled the Jews in 1290 for usurious business practices and ritual slaughter of young Christian boys. We expelled them in 1290. Oliver Cromwell borrowed money from them in order to have his revolution. He borrowed the money from Dutch Jews. Once he had killed the king, he then started advocating for the Jews to be allowed back into England. He was told, no, we're not going to go along with that. A few years later, they started to come back in anyway. And then they brought in the King William of Orange, this king from Holland, who was also very favourable to the Jews. And once King Billy was put on the throne, he then gave the tender to the Bank of England to the Jews. And the Jews have had the tender to the Bank of England ever since then. Of course, once they took it over, they were able to institute interest rates and start making interest on the money that they loaned, compound interest, which amassed them these massive fortunes that they have today. And then you got the Rothschilds later on that did the same. But when you think about it, all that money is going to these Jews when it should be going to us. It should be going to the nation. A sovereign country, a sovereign can create his own money. That's what a sovereign does. You look back in the history of Britain, we have coins with our old kings on them. Our pre-Roman kings, we had coins. It's mentioned in the history books. That's what the king did. He set up the monetary system so there was an exchange that could be used, so that exchange of value, so that people could purchase goods and create more wealth. That's what the king should be doing. But instead, what we've done is we've said, well, these Jews, we'll just let them do it. We'll let them make all the money. And it's the money power that is in charge. All the while you have a money power that is putting interest on everything. You've just got to have more and more and more debt. Of course, debt cannot be infinite. It's always got to be finite. And there's going to come a point when the banking system crashes and everybody is just paying back to pay back the debt. It's like when the government says, this is our budget for this year, this is the money that we need. Instead of just creating that money, they then go to the Bank of England and say, we need to borrow this amount of money. And the Bank of England says, fine, we'll create that, sell it off in bonds, and you pay back this interest on it. And then everybody pays their taxes, and the taxes that they pay, just about all of the taxes that they pay, are going back on this interest to serve this debt, which never goes down, because they can't really have it go down, because they need to keep having more and more and more debt in order to keep enough money in circulation, as I was saying at the beginning. It's an absolutely dreadful system to have. Adolf Hitler changed it. He changed the system. He took usury out of the system. He may have still had allowed some of the banks to use a very, very, very low rate of interest, but nothing like the interest that we have now. And he instituted his own money. He instituted these exchange notes. So when public works needed to be done, like the roads or the railways, they would create enough money that was needed for the work to be finished. They would spend the money on the materials and on the wages, and then they would work out a way to get that money back from charging for the railways or from tolls on the roads. The money would come back, or the exchange notes would come back. It would go back to the bank, and then it would be zeroed, which is the way that it should be. The bank should just be running a ledger system where you've got currency out, currency in, or currency created, and currency zeroed. Because this is what a loan is. It's an IOU. What you're saying is I owe you this amount. That's why it says on the cash that we use, I promise to pay the bearer the sum of. And it's us that underwrite that. And it's our honor, our word. It's our word that's important. It's our word that we will pay back that loan that gives it the value. And this is why African countries, they're all massively in debt and their money goes through the roof and inflation goes through the roof, and got Zimbabwe with their $1 trillion notes, because their word means nothing. Because when they take out a loan, they don't pay it back. So it doesn't mean anything. Their promise doesn't mean anything. But countries where your word actually has some value and where we keep our promises, then the monetary system has value. This is why the dollar has value. This is why the pound sterling has value. But whatever it is they use in Zimbabwe, that has no value whatsoever because they can't keep their word. And it's our word that has the value. And fiat itself means by the word of. The creation in the beginning, let there be light. That light was created by fiat. It was created by God's word. And it's our word, our promise, our IOU that gives our currency its value. It's nothing to do with the Bank of England having gold reserves, or it's not pegged to the price of gold or silver. And they deliberately wanted to unpeg the system from that so that they could create this massive debt mountain, so that they could get us in their pockets having to pay this back. And most people live under this illusion that we must pay all this back, and that the banks themselves have loaned out something of value to us, whereas they haven't. They haven't loaned out anything of value at all. All they have done is published the promise of the collective nation to pay back all the loans that they have. Now, I would advise people not to use credit cards, not to get loans. I understand it may be a bit awkward if you need to get a mortgage. If you can avoid that, then avoid that. If you use a debit card, then you are withholding money from the beast. If you use a credit card, every time you get something on credit, the banks create that money, and then you end up paying it back to them, and that's money that they've made out of nothing. If you are using a debit card, then the bank is making no money out of you, because you're only using money that you have already withdrawn from the circulation to put into your bank account. I hope that's understandable. So the best way to be, if you want to avoid helping the system do this to us, if you want to avoid helping the Jews, contributing to the Jews, contributing to the banks, then try not to get a loan. Try not to borrow anything from them and make sure that you use a debit card. Now, our ancestors all used to save up for things. They didn't used to just get loans. They didn't used to just use credit cards. They used to save their money. I think credit cards have only been around about 20 or 30 years. What it's done is just given the Jews and the banks undreamt of power over us than they had before. And it's also encouraged us to have this, we must have it now, must have it immediately idea, rather than sacrificing. I mean, our ancestors were great at self-sacrifice. They would put off the pleasures of now so that they could save for tomorrow. They would spend 100 years building a cathedral, knowing that it was their grandchildren that were going to see it. And rather than spending their time playing games and on leisure activities, they would go out and they would build this cathedral, knowing that it wasn't going to be them that were going to see it. They would sacrifice for it. Whereas today, people just want everything instantly. It's got to come instantly. See something, got to have it. People don't want to work for things anymore. And part of this idea comes from the idea that you can just make money with money. People wish that they could have lots of money so that they could just earn lots of interest with it. Again, saving money, saving it, you know, that's not a lot of good either, because this store of wealth, this measure of value, you want that to be circulating around the country so that it is used for creating more and generating more wealth. I mean, we should be receiving a dividend every year from the wealth that we create. As a nation in our country, we should be receiving a dividend, but we don't. All that money goes to the banks, and where they put that extra on there in interest. And again, this is a reason why they encourage immigration, because it doesn't matter to them how the money is being created. It's just so long as it is being created and there's more in circulation, it's more for the banks. So if you have more people that are coming over here that they're needing benefits, they're needing dole money, they're not actually putting anything into the system, but the government still needs to provide all that money in benefits and what have you. So they have to then borrow that from the banks. And then the interest gets put on top of it. So it doesn't matter to the banks if the countries are full of Negroes and lazy good-for-nothings that are doing nothing, because there's still, it means that a certain amount of money has to be generated for those people. All that money that has to be generated then has to be paid back. It will be paid back because it's guaranteed by the government and the interest on top of it. So the banks are quids in, and the white man is the one that has to pay all the extra taxes so that he can keep the foreigners. I mean, it's a great system for the Jews. This is why it's something that needs to be taken out of it. There are three other things that I discussed. No Jews. White has to mean white, and no perversity. And you will find that in most nationalist manifestos. But you don't often hear that much about usury, or you hear it from people that don't really quite understand it, just how insidious it is. But it does play a part in this, because it goes against natural law. It goes against the natural order to have something that is, it's not alive, it's not fertile, money, just creating money. Because it just means that the only way to create more is if people underneath you, the people that you lent that to, work extra to pay back the interest. It's fine working enough to pay back the principal, but then working extra to create the interest, it's stolen money. It's time that those people should have spent living their lives, and the old way of looking at it was, it's time that those people, it's God's time. It's time that those people should have spent alone with God, doing whatever it is that God wanted them to do. But instead of them being able to do what God wanted them to do, they are having to do what the Jew wants them to do. The Jew wants them to go back out and work for another 6 hours that day so that he can pay back his interest. And it's working for the Jew instead of doing what God wants you to do. So this is the way of looking at it. It goes against the natural order. Now, there's a link between usury and sodomy as well. E. Michael Jones makes the point about this, because money is not fertile, and it's artificially, they try to make it fertile. It's the same with sodomy. Buggery is not fertile. You know, you're never going to create a child through buggery. So there's a link between sodomy and usury. And in Dante's Inferno, the sodomites and the usurers are both in the same ring of hell, because it's similar. That's how wicked it is. That's how much it goes against natural order. So it's an important thing that we need to be pointing out, and we need to be saying, you know, you can't have usury. It's not fair on our white brothers to be using this weapon of war against them. And it is not necessary in order to have a functioning economy, because our economies function fine without it, and they would function fine today. We should be having a dividend. You think of all the wealth that is created by our people every year. You know, where is our cut of it? Where's it all going? Where's all that profit going? It's going into the bankers, going into the banks in interest, in taxes. Whatever the amount is that we pay in taxes, that should be being paid to us at the end of the year, not going out. Everything is completely the opposite way around, and it's because we have allowed Jews to run our banking system for us. So it's very important that we point that out, and we try to cut the usury out of it. Anyway, that brings me to the end of this, really. I mean, that's the four main subjects, back to basics, that I think are principles that we cannot compromise on. White has to mean white. It has to be white people that are advocating for us. If non-whites support our ideology, support our ideas, then, you know, I go along with Chris Cantwell, then they should be joining groups like the Proud Boys. They should be joining InfoWars. They should be joining English Defence League. But they cannot have a place among ethno-nationalists. That's what the alt-light is there for. That's what the civic nationalists are there for. Go and join the civic nationalists and advocate for us, because we can't have you in white nationalism. As far as Jews are concerned, again, we cannot have Jews involved in white nationalism. Jews are at the forefront of what we are fighting against. They are responsible for encouraging all these things that we fight against. They are tempters, and we don't need temptation. We should be avoiding temptation, and that is the main role that the Jew plays, is to tempt us to do wrong. So it's best that we just keep away from them. We can't have them taking over nationalism, because they will just advocate for themselves. We cannot have homosexuality. That goes against the natural order. It's a threat to our children. It's a threat to our sense of decency. And our innocent children should be our most precious possession, is our children. That's what has the most value. And we put them at risk when we allow homosexuality in our society. It should be the death sentence for it, but that doesn't necessarily mean lots of homosexuals will be slain, because you would have to have three witnesses for that. You'd have to have three witnesses that somebody was propositioned or somebody was caught buggering somebody else. And then that would drive it completely underground, and they wouldn't be able to recruit others. And the chances are it would die out in a matter of years or a matter of decades when the last generation of homosexuals died out. And finally, no usury. Usury is a weapon of war. It's what the Jews have used to take over our countries. It's given them an inordinate amount of wealth and power. And if we were to take usury out of the banking system, all the wealth that the nation created would belong to the nation, and we would be able to take a dividend out of it at the end of the year, rather than paying these huge amounts of taxes that we do, which just goes to servicing the interest debt, which goes straight into the Jewish bankers' pockets. Okay, thank you very much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless. And hail victory.